Scriptures explain how there are 14 planetary systems within this material universe. This Earth planet is in the middle planetary systems. There is Bhuloka, Uvayaloka, Swargaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Mahaloka, Satyaloka, the abode of Brahma. Beyond that, there are innumerable universes existing within the cosmic manifestation. Innumerable universes. Beyond that, the material existence is the viraja, which is the border between material and spiritual existence. Above the viraja is the Ramajyoti, the spiritual light emanating from the transcendental body of Sri Krishna. Within this Ramajyoti or Karavyoma, there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped in his various transcendental moons with this divine form of Narayana. Above all Vaikuntha planets is the supreme Goloka Vrindavan, or Krishna Loka. It is the ultimate destination. As we explained, all the Vaikuntha planets are not as valuable as the treasure as even one grain of dust of Sri Krishna Loka, where in his original form, Govinda Mahadi Purushana, Lord Govinda is worshipped and served by his most intimate associates, eternally. Once in every day of Brahma, that means once every 4,320,000,000 years, Krishna in his original form descends into this world. Along with him, he brings his most confidential associates and his own eternal spiritual abode. Vrindavan Dham has descended from the spiritual realm to this material realm. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Vrindavan Dham has descended from the spiritual realm to this material realm. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains there is absolutely no difference between Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual sky and Gokula Vrindavan descending within this world. Krishna here performs his beautiful pastimes especially for the purpose of attracting the hearts of all fallen souls back home, back to God. Simply by hearing the transcendental narration of Krishna's teachings and pastimes, one gradually becomes attracted to Krishna. Krishna lived within this world for 125 years. He lived in Vrindavan for about 10 years and 7 months. Then he went to Mathura, Dwarka, and then he went to the next particular universe. He was performing his transcendental pastimes. But it is understood by the scriptures and the great acharyas that the land of Vrindavan and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are eternally taking place. They are manifested to those whose eyes are anointed with the salve of love. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Nisantasya Daivadhanesha Vilokananti Dham Shama Sundaram Chintikama Swarupam Govinda Nari Purushantaram Vajam. Srila Prabhupada taught us this verse. When our eyes are anointed with the salve of love, then only does Krishna reveal himself. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Ye yathamam prapadyante tham sthathaya vajam. Mama vartmana vartante manushya paratasarash. To the degree we surrender to Krishna, Krishna reveals himself accordingly. Similarly, he reveals himself within his holy name, within the narration of his transcendental pastimes, within his holy abode of Vrindavan Dham, and even from within the hearts of his devotees. Krishna is manifesting himself always in his name, in the form of the deity, in the vibration of his pastimes, in his dham and in his devotees. And the appreciation that we have for these things comes only by the mercy of Krishna. That mercy descends according to our humility and our surrender. Sri Krishna performed his most beautiful Vrindavan pastimes to attract the whole world back to his loving service. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Krishna himself, came to Vrindavan in the year 1514. He stayed here for 2 months. And in the mood of a devotee, he taught us how to worship the transcendental abode of Vrindavan. He wandered through the 12 forests. He was constantly chanting and dancing and hearing the glories of Krishna. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the 6 Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami, to come here to Vrindavan, especially to rediscover and establish the holy places of Krishna's pastimes, to write literatures extracting the essence of all Vedic knowledge, pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna in Vrindavan as the ultimate goal of spiritual life, to very, very systematically describe how to make proper spiritual advancement. Build temples, establish deity worship, and to show the world the proper mood of renunciation in devotees and devotion by their own example. Rupa and Sanatana came to Vrindavan, were later joined by
Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Shiva Jiva Goswami. And here they brought the attention of Vrindavan again to the world. It was in 1965, Srila Prabhupada, who was living in Vrindavan for about 8 years, left this holy land for the purpose of bringing the message of Sri Vrindavan down to all the continents of the earth. We should know that we have all come to this holy place exclusively on the basis of the sacrifice, compassionate mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Therefore, He is our most worshipable, loving Guru for all devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He was especially empowered by Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do what no one had ever been empowered to do before, to bring the message of Vrindavan to the whole world through the chanting of the holy names. Beginning this yatra, we should first, with immensely grateful hearts, worship the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. We also have today very special guests who have come to bless us. Need for much introduction. As long as Srila Jaya Gautama Maharaj is always bestowing his most merciful glance upon the devotees of Srivata Gopinath Temple, we're so very grateful to have him here with us in this holy yatra. Let us welcome His Holiness Srila Jaya Gautama Maharaj. He's agreed to come with us for the whole yatra. Thank you.
Nasananda Maharaj, who is a very humble and gentle sannyasi from South America, and he's leading many wonderful book distribution preaching parties in both North America and South America. That is so Krishna, why don't you have your own altar?
People are sitting in front of the altar, they should not put their backs to the deities. There's a book upstairs.
Everyone, don't put your backs to the deities. Go to one of the deities' slides. Vaidyanath Prabhu is GPC and the leading devotee and preacher of Russia, one of the most successful and difficult places to preach Krishna consciousness in the whole world. He's truly an exemplary Vaishnava, very dear to everyone's heart. He's really sacrificed so much and performed so many austerities to make Russia one of the most successful preaching places in all the world. We're so happy that he has come. Let us welcome him. Conditioning, I cannot name all of them, but let us welcome all of our guests. Radha Madan Mohan Temple was the first temple built by the six Goswamis here in Vrindavan. The story of this sacred deity is very beautiful. 5,000 years ago, Krishna performed his lila here. Then he moved to Mathura and Dwarka. He married Rukmini. From Rukmini, he gave birth to Pradyumna. Pradyumna had a son named Aniruddha, who married Usha, the daughter of Vanasura. And from them, an illustrious son was born named Vajranath. After Lord Krishna put a closing chapter to his earthly lila and ascended back to the spiritual realm, Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was the king of the world, and his brothers, the Pandavas, they could not tolerate living in this existence without Krishna. So they retired from their emperorship and went to the Himalayas. Maharaj Parikshit was made the king. Maharaj Parikshit requested Vajranath, the great grandson of Krishna, to be the special local king of the Brajbhumi area. It was Vajranath's desire to establish wonderful deities in the holy places of the Raja and excavate the holy places of Krishna's pastimes. It is described in Bhakti Ratnakar how Vajranath, he sat under a kalpa vriksha tree in Vrindavan and prayed to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna to reveal to him his divine form in his holy places. And through the mercy of that kalpa vriksha tree, Radha and Krishna revealed the land of Vrindavan to Vajranath. With the help of Vishwakarma, he carved many beautiful deities. the three principal deities that he taught were Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath. After he completed this wonderful service, he approached, some say Uttara and some say Usha. And he asked her whether these deities looked just like Krishna. And she explained how the feet of Madan Mohan were identical to Krishna's. And the waist and the chest of Gopinath were identical to Krishna. And the face of Radha Govinda was identical to Krishna. So these three deities are the special worshipful deities of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. After many years, Vrindavan went through many transcendental changes. Various conquering powers were coming, deities were hidden, holy places were lost. When Lord Chaitanya came here, Vrindavan was just a thick, dense forest. Advaitacharya, after traveling to all the special holy places in Vrindavan, he came to Vrindavan. And he was living just a few minutes away. We will go to that place next. It is called Advaitavat. There he performed his devotional service. And under this tree, a banyan tree, he discovered the beautiful deity of Madan Gopal. He worshipped the deity with great love and devotion. When he was leaving Vrindavan, he turned over the service of Madan Gopal to one of his disciples of the name Purushottam Chobe, who lived in Mathura. Purushottam Chobe had very, very pure devotion to Lord Krishna. And he worshipped Madan Mohan like he would worship his own son in such intimate, spontaneous love. When Sanatan Goswami was living here in Vrindavan, he would go daily to do madhukara, to beg for a little bit of chapati from each house. While he was in Mathura, he came to the house of Purushottam Chobe, and he saw the beautiful form of Madan Mohan. But he instructed this great Brahmin that you should worship the deity according to rules and regulations. It should not be done in such a spontaneous spirit, which is very important. Spontaneous devotional service is for those who are completely free from all material desires, who have no trace of ego left in their hearts. Until then, we must worship the deity and practice devotional service according to the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti. So, that night, Krishna appeared to Sanatan Goswami and told him that this devotee has such pure love. I was very happy to give his parental affection. Now he's worshipping me with all these rules and regulations. I am not so happy with this. Simultaneously, he appeared to the Brahmin and said that I would like you to turn my service over to Sri Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami went to Purushottam Chobe's home to beg forgiveness for his offense. And in response, the Brahmin said that Krishna wants you to serve him. Sanatana Goswami said, but I have no money. I have no home. I have nothing. But Madan Mohanji appeared to Sanatana Goswami and said, that's all right. Just give me your bhakti and I will be satisfied. So first, Sanatana Goswami brought Madan Gopal, who after Sanatana Goswami started worshipping him, he began to be known as Madan Mohan. And he lived in Mahaban with him. There was a little temple in Mahavan, and it is explained one time Sanatana Goswami was on the bank of the Jamuna, and he saw this beautiful little boy playing with other boys. He was so attracted to him. So he wanted to find out who he was. So he followed this boy everywhere. The boy went into a little temple. And when Sanatana Goswami went into the temple, he saw there his worshipable deity. Later, Sanatana Goswami brought Madan Mohan to the place where we are just near. It is called Dwadas Aditya Tio. This is a very holy place in Krishna's Leela. After Krishna spent most of the day having his pastime with Kaliya, Krishna was feeling very cold by his own transcendental will due to being in the water all day. And he went on top of this small mountain. The 12 sons of Aditi appeared in the form of 12 suns and gave warmth to Krishna's body. Krishna perspired, and that perspiration came down the mountain and filled a beautiful lake, which is called Praskandana Lake. And one who bathes in that lake is free of all sins and achieves natural devotion to Krishna. It was here that Sanatana Goswami had Madan Mohan living under a tree. There, in this tree, he would worship Madan Mohan with so much pure, loving devotion. What he would do is beg and get some wheat flour, mix it with Jamuna water, put it on some hot coals, and that preparation called bhati, kind of like a crude form of a roti, he would offer to Madan Mohan. One day, Madan Mohan, in his transcendental affection for Sanatana, he spoke. He said, "You are giving me this roti. Can you not give me some salt with it?" Sanatana Goswami, very humbly, he responded, "My Lord, this is all I have. Please be kind, merciful to accept." Just at that moment, there was a big boat that was sailing down the Jamuna. The owner of this boat was a very wealthy businessman from Multan, which is now in Pakistan, Punjab. His name was Krishnadas Kapoor. His boat got stuck in the Jamuna, in the mud and stones. He had all of his valuables. He was especially a salt merchant. He had large quantity of salt and other wares. His whole fortune was in great danger. He came off of his boat looking for help. At that time, Krishna, or Madan Mohan, took the beautiful form of a little cowherd boy and went down to the river Jamuna. And he told this man, Krishnadas, that there's a great, great saint living on that hill. His name is Sanatana Goswami. He can help. Krishnadas Kapoor came on to Dwadas Aditya Tio. There he met with Srila Sanatana Goswami and explained to him the great tragedy that had happened in his life. And Sanatana Goswami taught him that the only shelter for everyone at all times in all places is Krishna. He is residing here in his beautiful form of Srimadana Mohan, worshiping him. So Krishnadas Kapoor, he wanted to offer the deity something, but all he had was some salt, which was just what Madan Mohan wanted. Whatever we offer, even a leaf, flower, fruit, water, even salt, If it is offered with devotion, Krishna accepts it. And the ultimate perfection of our life is that Krishna accepts our offering. Just at that time, as he was worshipping Madan Mohan under the merciful guidance of Sanatan Goswami, rain came and his boat was released. He sailed that boat to Agra, sold all of his riches, made a great fortune. He came back to Vrindavan and told Sanatan Goswami, whatever money I have, I want to surrender to you. Sanatan Goswami was satisfied living under a different tree every night, chanting the holy names and remembering the pastimes of Krishna. But Sanatan said, why don't you build a temple for Madan Mohan? He has been living under this tree for many years. So it was this Krishna Das Kapoor who, under the direction of Sanatan Goswami, built the beautiful temple of Sri Madan Mohan, which we will be visiting, the original temple, in just a few minutes. It is the very landmark of Vrindavan Dham and the first of the major temples. When Madan Mohan was discovered by a great acharya and worshipped by Sanatana Goswami, there was no deity of Srimati Radharani. The son of Maharaj Prataparudra of Jagannath Puri, whose name was Purushottam Jana, when he was the king, he wanted to perform the service of sending beautiful deities of Radharani to both Madan Mohan and Govindaji. He sent two beautiful, beautiful deities by boat with an whole entourage of ministers and soldiers to Vrindavan. When those two deities came, which were to be installed beside Madan Mohan and Govinda, the whole town of Vrindavan was ecstatic in jubilation. But just before the installation ceremony, Sri Radharani appeared to the pujari of the Madan Mohan temple. She said that King Purushottam Jana is thinking that these are both deities of Radharani, but actually I am Radharani, but the other deity is Lalita Sakhi, and that deity should be worked, should be installed. I'll be on the left side and she should be on the right side of Madan Mohan. So at that time these two deities were both installed beside Sri Radha Madan Mohan. And what happened as far as a deity for Govinda temple, that we will describe when we get to Govindaji Mandir. The deity of Madan Mohan is declared by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to be the Sambandha Murti. There are three. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, of all the Vedic literatures, there are essentially three topics: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha is to establish one's lost relationship with Krishna. And the deity that is worshipped for that purpose is Madan Mohan. The second stage is Abhideya, which means to render service to Krishna with complete attachment. And the deity we worship at that stage is Govindadev. And the perfection of our devotional service is Prayojana, pure unalloyed love in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. And therefore the Prayojana Murti is Radha Gopinath. Madan Mohan means one who attracts even the heart of Cupid. Kandarpa or Cupid is the ruler of this entire material existence. Our hearts are filled with innumerable desires to enjoy. This is all due to the control of Kandarpa. It is impossible to release our consciousness from the shackles of the imprisonment of Gandharva. By his arrows, he keeps us birth after birth after birth infatuated to the sources of misery. However, although Gandharva is attracting the whole universe, his mother name is Madana, he is attracted by Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is Madan Mohan, the attractor of the attractor, he who bewilders even the mind of Cupid, who is bewildering all existence. So it is through worship of Sri Madan Mohan that we can be freed from his mercy, by his mercy, from the endless desires for material enjoyment, and be attracted to his supremely all-attractive form. Here at Madan Mohan Temple, we pray at his lotus feet that he kindly attract our hearts away from the objects of the mind and senses which keep us bound to illusion. It is the desire for sense gratification that has been cheating us of our rightful nature, of the ecstasy of loving Krishna, birth after birth after birth. Krishna and Vrindavan are of the same transcendental nature. How to see Krishna? How to see Vrindavan? Narottam Das Thakur explains. Vishayacha diya kabe sudahabhi mana kabe habam Sri Vrindavan. That what he, Narottam Das Thakur prays, when will that day be? When my heart will be free from all the desires for material enjoyment. Only then will I be able to see Vrindavan. Let us pray in this spirit of Sri Narottam Das Thakur at the lotus feet of Sri Madan Mohan. Vishayacha diya kabe sudahabe nana kabe hamahiribo Sri Vrindavan.
Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Jeev Goswami, they all wrote many books on the science of Krishna consciousness. One of the books of Sanatana Goswami is Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. That book is being translated by our godbrother Gopi Pramodananda Das, and English editing is being done by Kesha Bharati Prabhu. So after some time that book will be published by the BBT in English, and that will be available for you. The business of the Goshamis, they have many programs, but their business of publishing, writing Vaishnava literature was very important. Nana Shastra Vicharana Kintana Satdharma Samsthapaka. Samstha means to establish very solidly. Otherwise, devotional service without knowledge or without scriptural guidance becomes sentimental. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panchatra Vidimbina Ekantiki Harir Bhaktir Utpataya Iva Kalpate. When devotional service is performed without reference to the direction of Shastra, it becomes pseudo-devotional service. It becomes a disturbance and a deviation. Utpata means off track, off the path. Utpataya Iva Kalpate. So to give the sat-dharma samsthapaka, to establish the principles of sat-dharma, or of our eternal function of devotional service to Krishna, the Goswamis gave so many books. We have especially this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, which teaches us how to practice devotional service, how to understand the science. Upadeshamrita, another Sri Rupa Goswami's books, Sri Prabhupada has given us. And there's so much Goswami literature, a very rich heritage. So that it's not something, although the charge is that this Gaudiya Vaishnavism is something sentimental. Or first of all, bhakti is sentimental. For those who are philosophical, there's Jnana Yoga. And for those who are just guided by their hearts, there's Bhakti Yoga. For the sentimentalists, therefore, that Prakashananda Saraswati, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Varanasi, and Prakashananda Saraswati was informed that this sannyasi has come, what is he doing? He's singing and dancing with a whole batch of people. Then Prakashananda says, oh, another sentimentalist. He's just another sentimental person. And when he should be studying Vedanta Sutra and understanding what is Brahma, he's singing and dancing with sentimental people. So the general impression is that bhakti is for the sentimentalists, and especially Gaudiya Vaishnavism. They're simply worshipping Radha and Krishna. They're first-class sentimentalists, that's all. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his discussions with Prakashananda Saraswati, completely presented. He was hearing Vedanta Sutra and not asking any questions. Then why aren't you asking any questions? Well, I understand Vedanta Sutra, but I don't understand all the rest of this stuff that you're saying. I can't follow your explanations. So Prakashananda Saraswati was very intelligent. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, like that, he was instructing, not Prakashananda. Prakashananda defeated first, then he came to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Same thing, that another nice looking sannyasi, good looking, young, looks like he'll get in trouble. But he's nice, I'll teach him Vedanta Sutra. So he was teaching Vedanta Sutra, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't asking any questions. Then that line was given, and I understand the sutras, but not your explanations. So Sarvabhauma understood that this is, indirectly he's saying, something's wrong with my explanation. Then what's your explanation? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained so nicely. So both Prakashananda Saraswati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya surrendered to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. understanding the superior philosophy of the natural explanation of Vedanta Sutra as given by Vyasadeva himself in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Goswamis have expanded or further explained those truths of devotional service presented throughout the Vedic literature, in Puranas, in the Bhagavatam especially, and those books have been left for us and are gradually being made available. So we should take advantage of this heritage given by Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, especially in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So much nectar is there, and they've expanded it. So we should read it, and relish it, and distribute it, teach it, and that will make our devotional service, our own devotional service, very strong and solid, subtimous and topical. We don't want only flimsy devotional service, or a sentimental devotional service, or deviant service. We want strong, authorized devotional service following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. So we should personally understand these, this science as given in the disciplic succession for the benefit of the whole world. Hare Krishna. So you can see that photo, the picture painting also of Sanatana Goswami worshipping Madan Mohan under the tree. Now the original deity of Madan Mohan, as did Govinda and Gopinath, they all went to Jaipur. But nowadays that original deity of Madan Mohan, he's situated in a village in Rajasthan called Karoli. And those of you who have ever been to Karoli, it's a complete, there's nothing there. You, on the road, there's nothing but stone, sky, and sun. In fact, that's your only business. You see all of the stone, most of the stone comes from Karoli. There's a stone, there's sky and sun, and somehow between those three, people eke out a living. So the village, completely, you can't even find a dharmshala to stay. But there's a huge temple, even bigger than this temple here. This is new Madan Mohan temple we're sitting in. It's even bigger than this temple here, with beautiful paintings and the ceilings over the deities, and beautiful. So Madan Mohan is situated. It's only thing, it's bigger than our Krishna Balaram temple. It's a huge temple, not in any town, but it's a huge, beautiful temple there for Madan Mohan. Now, how did he get there? It so happened that the king of Jaipur, he married his daughter with the prince of Karoli. So, as we know, the marriage will take place in the daughter's home, and then from there she will go in procession to the husband's home. So day before that procession, she was just weeping and weeping. And her father, the king, came. And he was just saying, please don't cry. What is it? What do you want? Just tell me. I promise I'll give anything. Just don't cry like this. I can't take it. Because she's a princess and she knows all the intrigue of palace life, so she didn't say anything. He said, no, you please tell me. Whatever you want, I'll give you. Just don't cry. I promise. Still, she didn't say anything. He said, look, whatever you want, you just tell me. I didn't give enough dowry, or whatever you want, I give my word, I'll give you whatever you want. So she's very clever, you know. So when he said like that, and also she gave a very clever answer also. She said, well, I'm leaving Jaipur and my mother Mohan is staying here and I'm going away. That's all she said.
He said, sure. You want to take my Madan Mohan with you to Karoli? That's sure. All right, you can take him, but you will have to identify him blindfolded. Now this solved a great mystery for me, because every time I went to Madan Mohan, it was one thing I could never make out. But anyway, in the night time, he came to her in a dream and he said, look, I'm going to move my hands and break the flute. So you find the deity that has the broken flute, that's myself. Because every time I went to Karoli, I would try to visualize the flute going straight between the hands. It just looked, is there an optical illusion or what is it? You can't draw a straight line. It just goes, and it comes out here. And I looked and looked. It's a really strange optical illusion. But anyway, he did. He moved his hands. So the pujaris, even today, they have to put half the flute here and half the flute here. So in the morning, she found the deity with the broken flute, said, this is my Madan Mohan. So then they made a huge chariot, and they took Madan Mohan off to Karoli, so he stays there in Karoli. Very beautiful temple, very, very opulent Mahaprasad, just like Nathadwar type of, you know, if you wrap it up in a newspaper, it just soaks with ghee before you even get back to your dharmshala to honor. It's just soaked with ghee. Very incredible. So, I'm going to know it, but this incredible Mahaprasad, very opulent Mahaprasad, very beautiful deity. Very wonderful place. So that's how we got there. So as long as we're talking about Mahaprasad, it appears that Mahaprasad has arrived. And even today, I wanted to mention, even today, those old dry chapati balls, they still offer them to Madan Mohanji. And then just behind here is Sanatana Goswami Samadhi Mandir. And they take those old dry chapati balls and offer them to Sanatana Goswami as Mahaprasad. So Prabhupada explained that because the devotee was offering those old dry chapati balls, as Maharaj explained, he was complaining, and Prabhupada said, because devotee was offering, therefore Krishna had to accept and eat those old dry chapati balls. So we should all understand that that is actually our only qualification. Whatever we think we're doing in the name of devotional service, it's just an old dry chapati ball with no salt. But in all, you see Prabhupada's letters, in all of his letters he writes that I'm always praying to Krishna to please accept these young boys and girls in devotional service. So whatever we may think we're doing so much, but our devotional service, just like old dry chapati ball without any salt, only because Srila Prabhupada is there begging Krishna to please accept our service, this is our only qualification. And Krishna, whatever our old dry chapati ball service Krishna is having to accept, because it's offered by Prabhupada. To Prabhupada ki! So I hope we don't have dry chapati balls, but...
We're
salt,
they're salt. At least there's some salt, yes.
After taking prasad, we'll go on Harinam procession to Dwadasa Dityati, to the original temple of Sri Madan Mohan, to the place where Krishna was warmed by the 12 sons of Aditi who appeared as sons. Also in that complex there's a well. Because there's so many people, you'll have to see on your own. You won't be able to stop at each place. But there's a well in the back side of the temple that Madan Mohan, with his flute, he made that well. And it has the sweetest, purest water in Vrindavan for the pleasure of Sanatana Goswami to assist him. And next to that well is the bhajan kutir of Srila Sanatana Goswami, where he sat under his tree and performed his bhajan, the original place he worshipped Madan Mohan. In the back side, maybe on another day, to bring so many people there will take a lot of time, is the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Sanatana Goswami, where his body was, he left his body in Govardhan and they brought him there. In the Samadhi complex is also the Samadhi Mandirs of Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, who Sanatana Goswami was loving associates with in Varanasi. There is also the Granth Samadhi. Many of the original scriptures written by the six Goswamis were put into Samadhi at that place. Very, very special place. So we will be having a procession
in order to do this and go to Radha Shyam Sundar Temple as well as Radha Damodar Temple this morning, it is our humble request that you take prasad with great awe and reverence, honor it quickly. Thank you very much. Let us end this dialogue by chanting one prayer together.
One thing about Sanatana Goswami's samadhi is that Bibi Govinda Maharaj told me one time in May of 1977, when Prabhupada was very, very ill, that he came here, because that happens, his disappearance day is on that Guru Purnima, which comes around May or June. So he came here to the samadhi and he gave a little donation, and Pujari gave him a little jasmine, because that time of year all the little jasmines are blooming. So he gave him a jasmine garland. So Bibi Govinda Maharaj took that garland back and he handed it to Prabhupada and told him, this is from Sanatana Goswami's samadhi mandir, it's his disappearance day today. And Prabhupada put that garland to his head and he said, this is a gift from the spiritual world. Srila Sanatana Goswami Bhada Ki!
Just to our left, there's three spires. That is the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Sanatana Goswami. This beautiful temple was built by one of the disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Within it is the deities of Sri Radha Das Bihari and deities of the eight Sakis of Sri Vrindavan Thakur.
Raja, Ram Ranjan
Chakravarti,
king of Berhampur.
This was built by disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Raja Ram Ranjan Chakravarti. He was the king of Berhampur in Bengal. Do not forget this. Remember Dina Vandrapur, we were empowered. Let us offer our most prostrated obeisances here to Sri Radha Madan Mohan Temple, the original temple of Vrindavan.